Well, firstly, let me say my own good morning to you all. It is a joy to be able to come and share with you again. I do bring the greetings from Chalton Evangelical Church to you this morning. Just one thing for your prayers. At Chalton, we have a holiday Bible club this coming week. Every day, Monday to Friday, from 2 o'clock to 4:30, we have a holiday Bible club. If you're able to remember us in your prayers for that, we would be very grateful. Well, do please turn in your Bibles to Psalm 1, the psalm that Rob read to us. We're going to be looking at that psalm this morning. And as you turn to that psalm, let me ask you, how do you get on with modern technology? Are you a fan of modern technology, digital devices, apps? Perhaps your age means you don't really bother with such things. My own mum never bothered with the internet or with these things. But most of us embrace these things in some form. And some are better than others. Some are more useful than others. Google Maps. Google Maps is something I use a lot of the time. We've just been away on a family holiday down in North Devon, somewhere we'd never been before, and being able to check routes and plan routes, how to get somewhere, how far, how long, which way, one way, two ways. Google often gives you lots of ways, doesn't it? The journey from my place of work to home is about 5 miles. That's here in Greater Manchester. And Google Maps typically gives me 4 different ways to get home. Well, our psalm this morning presents us with ways, but not lots of ways, only 2 ways. 2 ways, but they don't lead to the same destination. They don't end in the same place. 2 ways, and this morning, each and every person is following one way or the other. The psalm speaks of 2 types of people, the righteous and the ungodly. And all of this morning fall into one of those 2 categories. And then the psalm tells of the congregation of the righteous. And this morning, everyone here, we could say, is in the congregation of Droylsden Independent Church. But I have to tell you that being in the congregation of Droylsden Independent Church does not automatically mean that you belong to the congregation of the righteous. And that matters. That is really important. The psalm begins with the words blessed, and it ends with the word perish. And today, you are either blessed in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, or you are perishing, you are dying without the Lord Jesus Christ. And that matters. These are important things. So let us see how this psalm can help us this morning. You can see from the psalm how it is laid out. The psalm comes in 3 stanzas, 3 sections. We have 2 contrasting paths or ways. Then there's 2 pictures, the tree and the chaff. And then there are a conclusion with 2 futures. The psalm begins with the word blessed. Blessed is the man. And blessed, we sometimes find it hard to define blessed, but here it's the idea of true happiness, of real and lasting joy. When the Queen of Sheba visited King Solomon, and when she saw his great wisdom, when she saw all his abundant wealth, she said, "Happy are your men. Happy are your servants who continually stand before you and hear your wisdom." Happy It's the same Hebrew word that we find in Psalm 1, that we find in 1 Kings. Happy is the man. You want to be happy? You want to be joyful? Who doesn't want to know joy? Who doesn't want to be happy? Is that not what everyone is seeking? Is that not what we're all seeking? People out there, they want to know happiness. I just want my children to be happy. We hear that a lot of the time, don't we? Two ways. One way brings true happiness. The other way, it ends in misery. I'm sure many of you will know the story of John Newton, the 18th century slave trader. John Newton, he knew both ways, didn't he? He was a notorious drunkard, a blasphemer, a wicked and sinful man. Here he was on the way of the wicked, the path of the ungodly. But then he experiences the amazing grace of God, and he takes Jesus as his saviour, and his sins, they're all forgiven, and he's now a new man. And he leaves the way of the wicked, and he joins the way of the righteous. And he starts saying no to sin. And he starts reading, and he starts studying, and he starts delighting in the Bible. He becomes a preacher of God's word. He becomes an evangelical minister. He becomes a hymn writer. How we love some of the hymns of John Newton. And he writes these lines in one of his hymns. We're going to sing it at the close of the service. And he writes these lines: fading is the worldling's pleasure, all his boasted pomp and show, but solid joys and lasting treasure none but Zion's children know. See, the world believes and thinks it knows what makes you happy, where you can find joy and happiness. You want to be happy? Well, you do this or you do that. But it doesn't last, does it? At best, it's temporary. It's fleeting. It is fading. It is perishing. Happiness is not to be found in the things of the world. Blessedness and true joy is not found amongst the people of this world. Instead, someone tells us how good it is to be the person described in this psalm. How happy are those who live like this? If you're looking for true joy, if you're looking for happiness, someone says, this is the way to live. Or this is how not to live. Because we're given three negatives. We're given what not to do, and then one positive, what we should do. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. We could summarize the opening verse: blessed is the man who stays away from wickedness. Happy is the man who says no to sin. Three negatives. And we have three verbs: walking, standing, then sitting. The first verse: blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked or the ungodly. He doesn't listen to the advice of the ungodly. He doesn't enter into their way of thinking. He isn't persuaded by their arguments. He doesn't let the words of the ungodly influence how he lives. Now, the counsel of the wicked, the advice of the godly, it is all around us, isn't it? We find it in the modern media. We find it in the magazines and newspapers we read, on the internet, on the TV, in personal conversations, in the workplace, in our schools and universities. We can find it amongst our relatives and unbelieving family and friends. And the psalm highlights to us this very real danger that we can listen to the counsel of the wicked and we can allow the world to influence our thinking. The way to fulfillment is this. You fill in the blank. If you want to succeed, you must follow this path. If you want to be really happy, you need this. If you want to be accepted, you need to act like this. This is the counsel of the wicked. But here we are. We are in the world. And there are times when we can't avoid walking with the wicked. You may walk at work with the ungodly. You may walk between lectures with the ungodly. You may walk at a family wedding or occasion with the ungodly. You know, the psalm doesn't say, blessed is the man who does not walk with the wicked. We live in a fallen world. As followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are called to witness to the truth about him, about Jesus Christ. We have to walk amongst the wicked. The warning here is not then to absorb their values, not to listen to their counsel on how to live. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. But you know, where sin is concerned, words are not enough. Sin wants action. Sin wants to control you. Sin wants to master you. He wants to keep you enslaved. I don't know if you know the film Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Apologies if you're not familiar with that film, that the illustration might be lost on you. But in that film, the scene that scared every child was that scene with the child catcher. Here's this country, it's a dream, it's imaginary. But in that country, the king doesn't like children, and all the children, they are kept up, locked up in caves under his castle. And then the two children in the film, they come to this country and they have to be hidden, and they're hiding in the toy shop. And the child catcher, he comes looking for them. He comes to find them. And he comes, doesn't he? And he's going, here we are, children. Come and get your lollipops. I've got lots of lovely goodies for you. Lollipops, and they're all free today. And his words, isn't it? It's tempting words. This is the counsel of the wicked. And what do the children do? The children, they listen, and then they act. Then they follow. They go after him, and you're thinking, no, don't stay hidden. But they listen, and they act, and they go after him. And they go to his brightly painted wagon, and then they're standing with him, and it's all so attractive. And they go into the wagon, and then they are trapped. Off come the panels, and it's a cage. And they have been trapped. Words are not enough. Sin wants action. Sin wants to master you. He wants to keep you enslaved. And sin wants to progress you from listening to the wicked to standing with the wicked. But the psalm says, blessed is the man who does not stand in the way of sinners. Happy is the man who does not join with sinners, who doesn't go their way, who doesn't follow their lifestyle. The wrong direction, the dangerous direction, begins with listening to the ungodly, allowing them to influence you, to point where you stand with them, to that point where you stand with them and you join with them. And that is a deadly direction, for the way of the wicked, the psalm says, the way of the wicked will perish. Listening to the ungodly, thinking like the ungodly, behaving like the ungodly, where does it all lead to? It leads to belonging to the ungodly. It leads to sitting with the scoffers. It leads to being comfortable in their company. Our current culture, it loves scoffing, doesn't it? It loves mockery. There's that TV program, Mock the Week. Comedians, and they just love to scoff and mock. Many people love to mock Christian values. Many would scoff at Christian living. But the psalm says, blessed is the man who does not sit in the seat of scoffers. So we have these three negatives. And we can sum it up. Blessed is the man who stays away from wickedness. Happy is the man who says no to sin. You know, sometimes saying no can be the hardest thing in the world, can't it? But belonging to the congregation of the righteous, it requires us to say no. There are times when we have to say no. There are times that we remember that we belong to Jesus, and to be his means saying no to ungodliness. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. We read there, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, waiting for the glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ." Well, Psalm 1, verse 1, we have these three negatives, but now three ways not to live, but now one positive. "Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." Where does the blessed man look for direction? What does shape his thinking? What directs his ways? Very simply, it's the Bible, isn't it? It is God's word. The psalmist calls it the law of the Lord. The word used for law, it simply means instruction, means teaching. What directs the man who would be blessed is the teaching of God. It's the truth revealed in the Bible. The psalm tells us that blessing, that lasting happiness, is found in delighting in the word of God. What brings you delight? What brings you pleasure? There's lots of good things, lots of legitimate things that we take pleasure and happiness in. But here's the chief one. Do you delight? Do you delight in the word of God? Let's put some words out there with regard to the Bible. To you, is the Bible dead or is it living? Is the Bible boring or is it exciting? Is the Bible just fantasy or is it fact? Is the Bible just information or is it inspiration? Is the Bible dull or is it delightful? Happy is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord. Do you sometimes find that you slip into reading the Bible out of habit or a sense of duty? You know, if we're honest, I think we do at times, don't we? This psalm, it challenges us, doesn't it, to rediscover a real delight in God's word, in studying it, in praying over it, to hear it preached, to come to your midweek and to ask those questions of the passage and to find the answers, you know, to rejoice in the truth of the word and to have faith in it. God wants each of us to delight in his word. And perhaps when we struggle, we need to ask him to give us that joy and that delight again. Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and on it he meditates day and night. You know, just the Psalms alone, when we read through them, are a source of delight, aren't they? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Psalm 46. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Praise the Lord, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Psalm 147. Psalm 68. Our God is a God of salvation, and to God the Lord belong deliverances from death. Two ways: the wicked, sinners, scoffers, or the word of God. Which is directing your life? Which is shaping your character? Which is influencing your decisions? One way leads you to experience real and lasting happiness and true joy and true peace. Two ways. Then we're given two pictures in verses 3 and 4. And the first is the picture of a tree. The blessed man, The man who delights in the Bible is described as like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season and its leaf does not wither. You know, trees are thirsty things. Trees, they need a lot of water to grow, to flourish, to fruit. I'm a landscape architect in my day job, and we plant many trees. And when we plant large trees, we often spend more money on watering contracts to get the trees established, to help them grow and get established. They need to put down long, deep roots that will find moisture in the ground. And here is this tree planted by streams of water, and the roots, they go deep under the stream, drawing up that life-giving water. That water that's so vital, so necessary for the tree to be strong and to be vigorous and resilient and to flower and produce fruit. And we're given this picture then for the Christian man or woman. You need to rely on the living Word of God. It's like streams of water that is so vital for our Christian living. If you want to be strong and vigorous in your faith, to have a blessed and happy living faith, your roots, you need to be deeply rooted in the Word of God. When then trouble comes, when the storms come, there will be stability, there will be strength that is drawn from the Word of God. You know, there are those times and places that for a Christian, they are like a spiritual wilderness. You know, perhaps for some it is their circumstance that during the week there isn't the opportunity for Christian fellowship. That perhaps there are those with unbelieving family, or they simply don't have that fellowship and they're going from Sunday to Sunday. And they need then, don't they, those deep roots that rely on the Word of God. Roots that grow and develop by delighting in God's Word. And then there is fruitfulness. The man blessed by God, delighting in his Word, yields fruit in its season. In its season. The three little words there, they're important words. In its season, your trees are not flowering and fruiting all of the time. It is sometimes. Sometimes it is just slow and steady growth. You know, another ring is added to the tree. It's slow, but it's growth. You think of spring and take a cherry tree and it comes into blossom, and you know, a cherry has this spectacular blossom of all the pink flowers, but it's only spectacular for weeks. And you know, there are believers, you know, there are Christians who they may, for want of a better phrase, you know, beat themselves up because their Christian lives are not spectacular all of the time. They're not on fire all of the time, but that's not reality. That's not what we experience. It's not the picture of the tree. There's fruit in its season. You know, often the Christian life is just slow and steady. It is unspectacular, but you add another ring to the trunk and it's slow, but it's growth. It's growth, and the roots go deeper. And we're always looking for growth as a sign of true conversion. And as is fruitfulness in its season, where there is no delight in the law of the Lord, there will be no fruit for the Lord. So are you yielding fruit in your spiritual life? What makes you fruitful? It's the streams of water, isn't it? It's men and women who are transformed by the Word of God. Men and women indwelt by the Spirit of Jesus. The fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I don't know about you. In society, we see so much restlessness. And so much sort of anger, just new incidents of road rage and things like that. And contrast that with the fruit of love and of joy and of peace. You know, instead of short tempers, there's the fruit of patience. There's kindness and goodness. You know, how we need that in a society that is increasingly just self-centered and selfish and greedy. We see so much divorce in our society and broken families and adultery. But here the godly, they have marriages that are kept by the fruit of faithfulness. You know, again, we have this message, you know, live as you please, indulge yourself, but the godly exercise the fruit of self-control. Blessed is the man that yields such fruit in all that he does. He prospers, but not so the wicked. Not so the wicked, verse 4. The wicked are not so. They do not delight in the law of the Lord. They don't love the word of God. They don't think about it or let it direct their lives. So what are they like? How are they described? And here we have our second picture. They are like chaff that the wind drives away. Chaff. Do you know what chaff is? Chaff is the husk, the light, papery covering on grain. And it's hollow. It's worthless. It's inedible. And it has to be separated from the grain. You know, in the past, you know, today we have machinery that does it all, but in the past when farming was done by hand, and in Bible times, there would be a threshing floor, the place where the wheat harvest was trampled to separate the grain from the chaff. And then using a fork or a spade, the grain and the chaff and the husks would be thrown up into the air, and the heavier grain, it falls to the floor to be collected up, but the chaff, the husks, they're just blown away. And the ungodly and the wicked here are described as chaff. Hollow, empty, no life, no root, no vitality, no fruit. Chaff is useless and is blown away. And so much of our modern godless culture, what is presented to you as the way to live, the way to happiness, is just like chaff. It's here today and it's gone tomorrow. It's worthless and hollow and superficial and lightweight, and ultimately it is meaningless and it is empty. And in the end, that describes the life of the person who is found on the way of the wicked. Two pictures. You can be like a tree planted by streams of water, your life rooted in the word of God, or you can be like chaff that is empty and the wind drives away, the tree and the chaff. Well, lastly, we're given two futures, two paths, two pictures, and now two final destinies, two ways, and they lead to two different outcomes. Verses 5 and 6, we have a conclusion. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. The Bible, it speaks of a day of separation, the wicked from the righteous, a judgment day. At the beginning of Matthew's Gospel in chapter 3, we read of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has his winnowing fork in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Verse 5 of our psalm, the wicked will not stand in the judgment. There will be no place for them in the congregation of the righteous. And here is this choice. You can stand with sinners now, or you can stand in the judgment then. You can sit with scoffers now, or you can sit with the congregation of the righteous then. You can stand with sinners now, sit with scoffers now. That's the way of the wicked, and it leads to misery. Its outcome is eternal misery. The wicked will not stand In the judgment, they are blown away. They're like the chaff, they're thrown out, discarded, good for nothing, worthless. That's one way. It's the way of the wicked. But there is another way, the way of the righteous. And if you're on the way of the righteous, then you will stand in the judgment. You will stand. And you will hear the words of the Lord Jesus, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." If you're in Christ, you will stand in the judgment. You will belong to the congregation of the righteous. And the Lord knows, we're told the Lord knows the way of the righteous. The Lord knows the path that you're on. The Lord knows what it involves. The Lord knows that there will be sorrow, that there will be suffering. The Lord knows that there will be sacrifices to be made. He knows it all, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous. What does it mean to be righteous? It means to be blameless before God. It's to be without sin. But none of us are blameless, are we? None of us are without sin. We are all sinners. The Bible says none are righteous. No, not one. So how do you get on to the way of the righteous? How do you belong with the righteous? Well, you become righteous, or rather you're declared righteous, when God, out of his love and grace, forgives your sins and declares you to be blameless in his sight. And God does that through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He does that through the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus performed at the cross. When you put your trust in Jesus Christ, he takes all your sin away. And that record of wrongdoing is torn up, it's destroyed, and your sin is no more. And in exchange, you get the Lord Jesus Christ's perfect record, a life of no sin. That is your record in heaven, and you receive the righteousness of Christ. And God looks upon you as if you had never sinned. It's the greatest offer in the world, isn't it? You join the way of the righteous through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." The Lord knows the way of the righteous. How does he know? How does the Lord know? Because God himself came into this world. He became a man, the God-man, Jesus Christ, and he walked the way of the righteous. And here is the Lord Jesus, and he fits perfectly this blessed man described in Psalm 1. Ultimately, the Lord Jesus is the blessed man in Psalm 1, living in this world but never sinning, surrounded by temptation, but always pure and holy and blameless before God, truly the righteous one of God. Do you know, it's been on my mind, you know, my own experience. Rob touched on it in his prayer earlier, you know, just the times that I fail, the times I sin, the times I don't say no when I should. And here is the Lord. And Hebrews 4 tells us that Jesus was tempted in every respect as we are, yet without sin. And sometimes it is just staggering. It is just overwhelming, the contrast between the Lord's righteous life and our lives. What a staggering contrast. But here is the Lord, perfect in holiness and in righteousness. And as a man, he truly delighted in the law of the Lord. He meditated on it day and night. It was written in his heart. Think of the Lord on the road to Emmaus with that couple, and he opens up all the scripture from Moses to the prophets concerning himself. Think of the Lord as a boy. He goes to the temple He wants to be about his father's business. He's there discussing and thinking about the law of the Lord. And even then on the cross, the Lord Jesus, he speaks, doesn't he, to fulfill Scripture. The Lord, he truly delighted in the law of God, meditating on it day and night. And then everything that Jesus has done, we read here, this blessed man in verse 3, and all that he does, he prospers. Everything that Jesus has done, the work of salvation, God has prospered that, and he will prosper it for all eternity. You know, as we come to the end of this psalm, don't perish like the wicked, but believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Be blessed in Christ. For he alone will lead you in paths of righteousness, and he will lead you to that place in the congregation of the righteous. We pray that God would receive all the glory as we've considered this psalm together. Thank you.